and welcome back to the Soft Shoulder Podcast. This is a podcast about creativity, self-love, growing through your breakup, and marrying yourself. My name is Danette Relic. I am a coach. I am an author. I am an artist. I am full of linguine. I am looking out the window on this rainy November day here in Toronto. And I'm excited to sing tonight with Choir, Choir, Choir. We're going to sing Taylor Swift's Anti-Hero. And I'm just so, so thrilled about that. I contain multitudes, as do you, and I'm here to love every facet of who we are. This podcast is brought to you through the magical assistance of Allison Tarr. The music you are listening to is by Lee Rosevear. And this podcast is brought to you by my new book, Crash Bloom, A Creative Guide for Growing Through Your Breakup. You can get that book wherever you most enjoy buying books. So, dear listener, thank you for your patience as always. This year, as if you've listened to previous recent episodes, which would have been October, I talked about grief tending. I lost my dad this year. There was a little hiatus of the Soft Shoulder, an unannounced hiatus around that time. And I'm really just so glad to be back. I know that so many of you are also grieving different things, people, losses. Grief takes many forms. And, I was quite inspired by Yaro Magdalena, whose podcast, the Making and Mending Rituals podcast, has really been bringing me comfort. Yaro also lost a parent this summer, quite suddenly. And so they have been using that podcast space and doing a series called Grief Journal. And where Yaro is reflecting on the grief tending that they're doing during this time. And I found it helpful. Also, Yaro's voice, total crush. You will have a crush also if you are new to hearing Yaro into your headphones. Yaro and I recorded an interview. I will be on the Making and Mending Rituals podcast in the upcoming weeks. And, we're both sharing this season of grief tending from the loss of a parent. And also, we have so many things in common. It's my third time getting to be a guest on this lovely podcast and in Yaro space. And so please do check that out if you're not already a fan of us both. I think that you will love listening to that as well. One of the things I really enjoyed, I think it was the very first grief journal episode, I was having a hard time getting out of bed. And I played that podcast episode and it felt like a little golden thread, just something so tiny and so lovely that I could just kind of hang on to. And it gently pulled the covers down. It gently pulled me out of the soft mattress and into the day and down to the coffee shop where I could be surrounded by other people and, have the study hall feeling of being out in community. It was so healing. So in our conversation, which I won't give too much away, but we did talk at some point about, when I wrote Crash Bloom, I'm not sure how clear I was that what I was writing about in many of the chapters was just purely writing about grief. I might have used that word, but I don't think it really hit me the way it's hitting me in these past 5-6 months here. So much of the things that I've been doing to tend to my grief around the loss of my dad are also things that I wrote about and suggested and invited us all to do in the case of growing through a breakup, because grief is such a huge part of that process. It is, loss comes in many forms. Grief takes many shapes. And I think that one of the reasons why I was so compelled to write Crash Bloom in the first place was you know, there was something about like what wasn't being said and what wasn't being written. And, you know, I did that thing I think I've mentioned before where I wrote the book that I wanted to read at that time. And I encourage you, that's such a great way to follow your own creative drives and dreams and gifts. If there's something that you wish was in the world and you can see it and you know what it should be and you know how it would be different from other things, that sounds like it might be a creative dream, a creative project that's wanting to come through you, that you can see things that other people aren't seeing in quite the same way, and this thing wants to be born through you. So that's happening to you in any kind of creative capacity. I urge you to kindly listen to it. One of the things that I was really wanting was permission to take a breakup loss seriously and to really honor the grief of it without trivializing, without it being just something cute, like a fun, quick topic, something to make fun of. I think, you know, I just really saw how, like, if someone was, I mean, even with death and grieving, things that I think collectively we can agree is like, death is pretty much like an agreed upon worthy loss, like worthy of grieving, right? Even then, we have these ideas of how long it should take, what's healthy and what's not healthy, how much someone should or shouldn't be expressing sadness and grief. And even though I think there's limits and challenges culturally with how we look at even grief from a loss from death, with breakups, there's not a lot of wiggle room. And often it can be painted like you can't, there's something wrong with you if you're still feeling a certain kind of way about a breakup. And especially if that relationship was you know, short, in quotes, right? Like people will ask often about how long you were together to kind of gauge how upset you should be, which I think, you know, you with the sensitive heart, you who was like, why do I still think about that person I was with for 3 weeks, the three most intense and beautiful weeks of my life? And then for so long after it, just not knowing how to move through that, right? And there's a sense of like shame or embarrassment that can happen around it. And so I think that's one of the things that I was really wanting to take a stand for in Crash Bloom. And so I take that stand with you. I don't judge at all. However you're feeling about a breakup, no matter how long ago it was, and no matter how long you were with that person, you know, there's something going on in your heart. There's something going on that wants your attention. And maybe, I don't know, I sometimes think that, you know, just why I talk about permission so much is that often just allowing ourselves to be the flawed humans that we are, flawed is in broad quote marks or whatever, but like allowing it to be okay. It's okay to be sad about that 7 years later. It's okay that it was only a 3 week relationship, you know? It's okay to, you know, grieve however. I find that once the permission is there, it does help things along. It does kind of just let it be okay. So much of our suffering, I'm convinced, is by the judgment of the suffering itself, by stopping it before it has a chance to breathe and get out there and air itself out, you know? So it's been interesting revisiting things in Crash Bloom where it's like, oh, I am using this practice in, you know, grieving the loss of my dad. And I'm using this practice as these kinds of things come up. The thing I wanted to talk about today is the first withouts. Because we're coming up to holiday season. And, you know, this is one of those times, if you have gone through anything, had a big loss this year, many of us are approaching, you know, coming into this holiday season, and it's not, you know, holidays as usual. It's the first Christmas, in my case, it's the first Christmas without my dad. And I've never lived that before, and I don't know what it will be like, but I know that it will be different from every Christmas previous. And that same thing happens with a breakup, right? If you are with someone and you guys have your own traditions, if you were, you know, cohabitating, if you were, your families were merged together, you know, maybe there was like a place that you would go together, things that you would do together, traditions that you started, gifts that you would be buying for. And this year it's like, oh, I didn't realize that this year I would be kind of starting from scratch, or I would have no one to cook for, or I would have no one to cook for me or share this meal with, or, you know, I just don't know where I'll be on this date that everyone else has their own family traditions and plans. Certainly, and I'm sure that you know, there's also many of us out there who, you know, gather with chosen family, who have our alternatives to what everyone else is doing anyway. But yeah, this, when you come up to it, when you're used to a certain thing, it can be just another challenging moment, right? There's the day itself, the plans of how you're going to spend that time. And there's also just, you know, everyone else. There's all the movies and the advertisements and all of the things that are happening with your friends and your community. And in some cases, a lot of things will be going on as they have been, and it will only like magnify how different this year might be for you. So I think that one of the ways that we can really love ourselves at a time like this is by being a little bit practical. It's a little practical magic. There's a chapter, it's on pay if you have Crash Bloom, it's 114. It's called The Year of First Withouts, because of course there's, you know, Christmas is just one, holidays are just one of the many first withouts. Some of them are things that we all go through, like birthdays, and other things might be just really unique to your own relationship, things that you only just did, the two of you, and won't be doing, or will be doing them separated or something like that. I find it easier to just sort of anticipate, to reduce the harm and be really like, create a little gentle landing. I see it as like, I was in traffic the other day and I got very quickly outraged. I was not speaking in this soft tone that I am speaking to you with. My voice was harsh and fast and loud. The vehicle behind us, which was a much larger vehicle, we stopped at a red light and this vehicle came, and I mean, I don't know how close, we didn't feel it hit us, but I'd be shocked if there was more than an inch or two between their bumper and the back bumper of the vehicle I was in. It was unnecessary closeness. And, you know, I was taught when I learned to drive that you have a space cushion around your car. The space cushion is so that should something go a little sideways, you have room to maneuver, you have time to dodge something. It's like for safety and comfort. And if you never need to use it, it's just lovely to have a little cushion of space around you, right? This is sort of like doing that for your heart, for your emotions, looking ahead at the year of first withouts that you might be facing, and doing a little bit of an inventory. There's a guide here, it's on page 117, a list of suggested possible things that maybe, you know, might have caught you off guard if you weren't taking the time to look ahead for your future self and wrap that beautiful future self in a bit of a space cushion. You can make plans, and here's what's really important, dear listener, is they don't have to be like anyone else's. Like, you can participate, like, for, I'm thinking about Christmas right now. I'll just use that as the thread example here. You know, I could choose to not do Christmas at all. I could choose to be like, I just can't handle it, I'm not doing it, and make completely other plans that has nothing Christmassy going on. I could, you know, maybe I could just remove myself entirely and go to a different climate that I don't associate with the holidays. Maybe I can just go hang out with other people who don't celebrate Christmas and we can just go to the movies or do something else. I can do that. Or I can choose to celebrate full on and like really pay attention to the thing that is missing and really honor and have like some kind of ritual or some kind of special celebration that really honors and reflects on the loss. Or I could do so many things in between, right? Where it's like, well, we're going to wing it. Here's what we're keeping. Here's what's probably not going to be there. And we're just going to roll with it. But like, the thing is, I find great comfort in looking ahead and imagining what might cause me harm and to see if I can create that space cushion, create that little loving embrace for future Danette. Another thing that was suggested to me was being of service. So I also mentioned in the book that a friend of mine went to volunteer around the holidays. That's something that, you know, they didn't have the kind of like space and time to do with so many family commitments. But after a divorce, when all of those family commitments now have been removed, suddenly they were available and they decided to redirect and use their time to give in a way that they'd always wanted to give, particularly around that time of year. That was meaningful to them. Also, you know, can really just take your attention to something else that also matters and connect with other human beings, you know? So I just wanted to bring this up for those of you who are approaching the holiday season with a little bit of like, I'm not sure what to do here. And just remind you that you get to do whatever you want to. You might disappoint people, and you might not feel like you have a lot of choice because of the disappointing of the people. But I invite you to just try it on anyway. Try on the idea that you could do anything. What would you want to do for this first without? Is there something like, do you notice that your instinct is just to like avoid, and that feels the most loving, is like to just, I just want to skip it. I want to skip it this year. Or do you want like something else? Is there something that feels especially important to honor and to experience this year around the holidays? Just check in with your heart. There's no wrong answers. It's important to note, especially if your loved one has passed, that there isn't an answer that demonstrates that you love them any more or any less. If you decide to opt out, that doesn't mean that you love this person any less. If you spend the whole Christmas crying and quote unquote, like ruining Christmas, not being joyful and not doing all the things that people, that, you know, the pressure of the holiday can bring, that doesn't mean that you love them less. I will say one of the things I don't appreciate personally, I know that the intention is well-meaning, when people say that your loved one wouldn't want you to be sad. They wouldn't want you to cry. They wouldn't want you to be sad. So it's like now there's this extra pressure, right? Of like, oh, well, I was already grieving and feeling horrible. And now if I'm grieving, I am somehow insulting and offending my dead loved one. Like, no pressure. I disagree with that. And also, like, your feelings don't belong to anyone, whether or not they're living or dead. That's not how feelings work. And so if you just needed to hear that from me, you do whatever the hell you want to do with your feelings. You cry as much as you want to cry. And that means other people are, you know, of course, entitled to their own too. Some people won't want to be around that. That's their choice and preference. And that's also important for them, right? We have to find ways to be together while we're having our own experiences and our shared experiences. But after the holiday, I wonder, what are some of the other firsts that you kind of see on the horizon? Maybe you're not even at all concerned about them and they're not daunting, and that's fine. But if you would feel comfort by having some plans in place, I think it's really helpful to make a list. You can mark them out on the calendar. Some of these things just might involve you having a heads up, right? So that you're not just all of a sudden you're there and you just like crack open and have a meltdown and feel caught off guard by the grief that comes. you know, like you could arrange to be with a friend. You could arrange to take, you know, have a lighter load at work if that's possible, if that's something that you have agency with. There's lots of little things that you could do. I mean, mailing yourself a card to arrive in time for one of these first withouts is also a lovely thing that you can do. But I just, you know, you won't know until you get there. What's funny is that sometimes the big events, like their birthday, an anniversary, Christmas, these like massive things that people might be thinking about you during this time, they might not feel like particularly more sad than any other day. And then you might do something like, I don't know, see cashews are on sale. You have an absolute meltdown in the grocery store. Like, this is part of like the humorous, you know, nature of grief as well, right? It doesn't make sense. And of course, it's going to catch us off guard. Planning ahead to be loving and kind to your future self for these first withouts. It's not a way of avoiding pain altogether. Of course, you're not going to. It's like knowing that you might need a little extra cushion and you might like a little blanket. It's just being prepared and being generous and soft to what your future self might need. If you don't need it, it's no harm, right? Having a space cushion around your car doesn't do any harm. And if you need it, it's great, right? So that's really kind of the spirit with which I write and share this chapter and these thoughts with you. This year, yes, it will be the first without my dad, and I don't know what that's going to feel like. And I've been reflecting on, you know, these first withouts, and because my dad lived with Alzheimer's for the last 4 years of his life, I'm starting to also realize that it hasn't been the same. Like, there's been first withouts kind of happening in this weird cusp, this weird eclipse of time from, you know, as you do with loved ones with these kinds of illnesses, like in the dementia family, there's this slow fading of the person you knew and this slow arrival of a new version, a new person that's in that same body somehow. And it's not always so cut and dry. Like, was last year the kind of Christmas that I always remember and cherish with my dad? No, it was different. It was with, I've, you know, sometimes called the new dad. Like, there's many. like you and me, my dad also contained multitudes. But of course it was different. And so realizing that in some ways allows me to be in touch with that anticipatory grief that I had been like, that had been building all that time, coming into the present day where this is, the loss is more final, at least in this like physical realm. And also note that like, I've already kind of been through some version of this. There's always, I find that the more you love, the more you experience the intensity of a loss. The loss is really, I believe this to be true, but like there's like a measuring of like how much you're willing to love and feel when something is here is sort of like, you know, the level of the pain that you'll feel when you lose that thing or that person. And at the same time, also, the more we love and lose, the more we give and grieve, we do have kind of like a strange grief muscle. I think it's really like another aspect of self-trust, to trust that you can get through this, that you've been through losses, not this one, and never again will I have this loss, but there are more losses in my future, and the losses of the past are no less special, you know? So, I'm sure that if you're listening to this, at some point in your life, you've experienced a loss that you tended somehow, even if, you know, you don't know how you tended to it. Maybe you're sort of caught off guard that you got through it at all. But you have survived so much up until now. So I don't know. I point that out just to remind you that, you know, there is some part that's unknown and scary, and there always will be with a new loss in our life and a new heartbreak. And the more that we love and the more that we lose, we're familiar, not with this particular loss, but with our resilience, with our ability to endure incredible heartbreak, with our ability to grow new things around that loss, the loss not shrinking, but we can grow more around it through more love and creativity and connection. And I don't know. I think that it's like a real blessing, honestly, to as excruciating as it can be. I think that, you know, I just wouldn't choose a different life. And I think if you're here, I think that perhaps you feel the same way. Loving is one of the bravest things that we can do. We're always learning how to do this. We're with ourselves and each other more each day. Love changes us, and so then the way we love changes. Unexpected challenges and loss comes in, and that asks even more of us. It's kind of wild. And I know that you're doing all of this while going through the grocery aisle, while going to work and answering a phone, being on a Zoom call, helping your kid with their homework, driving to get gas. Like, all of this stuff is happening, the most incredibly profound things with the mundane, and we loop them all together somehow. Mine won't be like yours. I don't know exactly what yours is like, but in that we can share, you know, we can kind of reach hands across and be like, I know that each of us is having our unique experience of love and heartbreak, and we know what that's like. I don't know what yours is like. You don't know what mine is like, but we know what it is like to lose and to move through this bravely choosing love. So dear listener, however you can look into the future, whether it's just this holiday season, or perhaps you want to sit down, you haven't taken stock and you're like, let's get this whole thing on the books. Let's look at the entire year of first withouts that's ahead of me. How do I want to give that future self a little space cushion and prepare them to just get through it just with a little less pain or a little less discomfort? This is how we can love ourselves today and in the future. Dear listener, you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. My heart sees your heart. I'm so glad to be back, and I look forward to next time. Take good care of yourselves. Talk to you soon.